Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
This morning, I do need you to participate in this first part of the service, okay? It's real easy. I know you got this, so just work with me here, okay? So I'm going to show you a picture, and all I need you to do is tell me what's wrong with it, okay? It's that easy. You got this, all right? Here's the first one. Ready, fire, aim. What's wrong with that? It's out of order. All right. How about another one? The cart before the horse. Like, we don't even need to be equestrian experts to understand, like, this is not going to work. I learned this week that since about the 1500s, this phrase, putting the cart before the horse, has been part of our common vernacular for describing when things are out of order. The cart before the horse. And as we look at our everyday lives and we experience life together, we can see that some things must be done in the right order for it to work. The cart just can't go before the horse. For example, you need to make sure that your keys are with you before shutting and locking the house door, right? Yeah, how many learned that lesson the hard way? I know I have. The car door, you know, you got to get it in the right order. Here, speaking of cars, here's another one. Cart before the horse. You got to remove the gas nozzle before driving away. Okay, no amens or hands raised for that one, okay? We see that all sorts of things in our everyday life need to be done in the right order. And the same is also true in our spiritual lives as well. Maybe if you've ever found yourself sitting down for a meal and you're eating only to then hear someone say, "Let's pray for our dinner before we get started." You look like a chipmunk has just seen a ghost. Out of order. Cart before the horse, right? In the New Testament, Jesus talks about a group of people and people in general who you could say got the cart before the horse or things out of order in their spiritual life. And it's one of the most alarming things Jesus ever said. This is Matthew 7. This is the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, arguably his most famous and largest block of teaching we have preserved for us. And at the end of it, he comes to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And he says these words, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" What seems to be out of order in this passage is that it says many people, not a couple, not even a handful, many. Many people seem to do a lot of things for God without actually knowing him first. They got the cart before the horse, if you will, thinking that teaching and talking about Jesus and performing miracles and seeing spiritual victory happen in their church and the lives of people all around them, they thought all of those things meant that they were right with God. But Jesus in this passage says, "Depart from me, because I never knew you." You see, The people in this passage, the warning that Jesus is giving us is that people mistakenly thought that good works and good deeds and being a part of a religious community is what marked relationship with Jesus. And he says, no. You got to know me. They got the cart before the horse. And friends, the reality is that will always be a hurdle in our spiritual life. And so I want to ask you this morning, how's your soul? Do you have things in the right order? Are you trusting in the right things this morning? Or maybe are you thinking that all this Christian thing about is trying to be a better person or to cuss a little less or to be nicer? How's your soul? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, when we thank you for your word, Lord, we thank you for the words that are comforting and the words that are disturbing. Lord, we want to hear both today. We want to hear your warning that we got to know you. And so, Lord, would you come in your kindness, in the power of your presence, as we look to your truth, your word today, as we examine this hurdle of maybe misplacing our trust in things that we can do rather than what you've done. Lord, will you come? We want to see you. And Lord, we want to know you. Lord of our life. Have your way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're starting a new four-part teaching series called Hurdles. We did not steal this from Rockingham County. We're borrowing it, and they know about it. But this is a hurdle. And so the next couple of weeks, we're going to take a deep dive into very specific hurdles, or things that come into our spiritual life that prevent us, that keep us from knowing the fullness of life that Christ Jesus came to offer. John 10:10, he says, I have come that you may know life and life to the full. That's what we're after here. And any hurdle that might get in the way, we're just going to address it and try to go after it so that we might know the fullness of relationship with Christ. Today, we're talking about the hurdle of having things out of order in our approach to relationship with Jesus. These things can happen when we try to be a better person, when we try to attend church. Please, thank you for being here. Thank you for attending church today. But this out of order thing, this hurdle can come when we think that it's all about attending church or being a better person to do all of those things without ever first coming to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Certainly, the Bible does teach us that we need to live a good and moral life, but that commitment to good works is not what saves us. It's not the power of the gospel. Ephesians 2 addresses this. It says very clearly in verse 8, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And so the life that Jesus came to offer, the fullness that we're after, does not come from our efforts, it does not come from our attempts to be a good person and to help others. Please be a good person, be a kind one, and help everybody you can. The world needs more of that. But understand this morning, that's not what it means to be saved. There's difference. We don't earn our salvation. Salvation, according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, comes by grace. Grace is the kindness, the love, the goodness of God that we do not deserve, but it comes our way anyway because that's who he is. It comes by grace through faith. And this faith is the idea of believing in the person of Jesus, that we look to him and his work on the cross, and we believe that he was the sinless Son of God who was sent to die on our behalf. And we say, yes, I believe that happened, and that somehow counts for me. That's faith. And the scriptures say that both of these things, grace and faith, are gifts. That implies that all we are to do is receive them. There's no earning required. There's no earning that's going to do it. It's a receiving of a gift. We receive the gift. We don't deserve them. We don't earn them. In everyday language, this means that our salvation, our right relationship with Jesus, what it means to be a Christian, does not come because we show up to church. Again, thanks for coming today. But this sitting here in this address on this time on one day of the week is not what saves you. In everyday language, because we try to be a better person, again, please be a better person. But it's not what saves you. Being nicer to other people, even being baptized or singing in the choir, is not the essence of salvation. Salvation, right relationship with Jesus, new life, transformation comes by grace through faith in the person of Jesus. Now, before you would want to run away with this idea and think that what we do doesn't matter at all, we need to stop real quick and just tune into the half-brother of Jesus. His name was James. And he wrote a letter in which one of the things he hammers away at is that faith without works is dead. How we live absolutely matters. We are called to live good and noble, ethical lives, good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. But here, as James says, faith without works is dead, he is citing our good works as a result of a changed life because of Christ Jesus, not the source of it. You see, that's a spiritual life rightly ordered, that we are transformed and made new in Christ, then good works. That's the right order. This is the spiritual life that we're called to. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You see, the trouble with believing in good works and thinking that the essence of this whole Christianity thing is about trying to be kind and be a better person is that we're trusting on what we can do. The Bible is calling us to trust everything in what Jesus has already done. It's to put our faith in him, not me. When we believe in Jesus, when we get this thing rightly ordered, you see, when we believe in him, this passage is telling us that in Jesus's, when we place our faith in his life, death, and resurrection, we are called what the Bible uses a term called justified. It means that every sin, every wrong thought, word, or deed that you've ever done, no matter how dark, no how shameful, no how big you think it is under the blood of Jesus. It's gone. It's atoned for. That ought to encourage somebody today. That's justified. In the eyes of God, we are not guilty. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. That's justified. When God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ, not our filth. Wow. And another thing, that you see, we're trying to use language to articulate an eternal spiritual reality that happens. And so we're grasping for languages and concepts to try to put this thing together. And so we have justified, and then it says that we are regenerated. This is John 3. Jesus looks at Nicodemus and says, you got to be born again. There's a dramatic shift, a remaking of life that happens in this moment. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And so this moment of placing our faith in Jesus and not in our works, we are forgiven, and the debt has been paid for our sin. We are not guilty before God, and we are made new, that the literal life and spirit of Jesus comes to take up residence in us. The guy who made all of creation comes and lives inside of your life. Wow! This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, friends. This is so much better than asking, do you go to church somewhere on Sunday? Like, and I'm not downplaying that, but I'm trying to hold up the right thing for us this morning. We're regenerated. We are born again. We are made new. Jesus comes in and takes up residence in our life. And something else happens. But wait, there's more. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. We are justified, regenerated, and adopted, brought into the family of God. We're His kids. And friends, those are things, those are realities that our good works cannot accomplish. By grace, through faith in the person of Jesus. And so let me ask you this morning, is that what you are experiencing today? Like, that is a whole other category of question of, do you go to church anywhere? Do you give to the offering? Do you try to help people? It's even more than have you been baptized. Like, baptism is good in its right place. But see, I'm not asking you if you've done a religious checklist this morning. I'm asking you if you have relationship with the person of Jesus. Has something in your life so dramatic happened that you would have to reach for language as wild as being born again? I don't know if you remember being born, probably not, but maybe you've been around one lately. It's a pretty dramatic experience. But yet that's what the scriptures are saying happens. And so can you identify that? Paul says in that 2 Corinthians text that, like, it's a transformation. You're literally new. Like, has that happened? Friends, if you don't know, it can be true for you today. That's what we're talking about here. And until we understand that spiritual reality, we will fall over this hurdle every single time. Because our good works will not save. The reality of trying to do it on our own is that it's really unfulfilling and frustrating. I found a piece of art. Now, bear with me with this. You're like, you know about art? Very little, okay? Got it. But I found an artwork, an art installation, that I think depicts this life of trying to do it on our own. Don't miss the name of it. It's called I Can't Help Myself. True story. This is it. This machine is inside a glass cage. It was designed as a piece of artwork. It does one thing. The only thing it does is try to keep that red liquid from oozing away. There are sensors in that machine that are watching that line, and as soon as something gets a little out, it'll do a neat little dance. And it goes over and grabs it and tries to pull it in. Well, simultaneously, something squirts out the other side, right? And so this machine, although however beautiful and poetic it might be, this is all it ever gets done, is just trying to contain the mess. Are you listening? And so when we're trying to trust our own work and we're trying to think that it's what we are about and our good works or going to church that save us, this is the kind of life we're living because it's missing the power. We haven't solved the real issue in salvation in Jesus. And so we might come together and we're living this life of just trying to clean up one spill at a time, one mess at a time, barely enough to time to breathe. We're constantly on, constantly trying to hold it all together only to have it leak out the other side. Jesus came to deal with this, friends. And that life, it might show up in a lot of different ways. It's not going to look like a machine sweeping up fluid. It might look like being successful by the world standards, having all the things that you could imagine. It might even look like being successful by the standards of the church. But yet somewhere in your soul, when nobody's around, you feel empty and you're wondering, is this life really meaningless? Everything you thought would bring fulfillment hasn't. Maybe this shows up, this pain shows up in this pattern of self-destruction or sabotage. You're on like this unending repeat of up a little, down a little, up a little, back down. And you can't figure out why life is one cyclical problem. Because we haven't really addressed the issue. You might live with a constant nagging fear of death, a doubt about the future, what might happen to you. Maybe it's when you die. And maybe you try to soothe that by going down a religious checklist of, yep, went to church, gave a little, yep, got baptized when I was a kid. I did all those things. You might be trying to do those religious checklist items to soothe a fear that won't go away because you aren't sure what's going to happen. And maybe in your innermost moments, your honest moments with yourself, you realize that nothing has really changed. You hear about the transforming power of the gospel and of Jesus Christ, but yet somehow you feel like you're missing it. And so you just keep trying to sweep the mess. You're trying to keep everything from going too far. It's a form of godliness, but it denies its power. Miss Lindsay, thank you. I want to be crystal clear. I am not trying to talk you out of your salvation this morning. I'm not. I'm trying to hold up the real thing. Was anybody, just curious, was anybody out driving early Friday morning in that fog? That was a thick one, right? It was dark. I was headed north out of Elkton towards Shenandoah, and two cars were in front of me, and you know, it was a fog where like 40 scary, right? It was one of those. A car is coming the other way. They're headed towards Elkton, and they're flashing their lights, high, low, high, low, high, low, high, low. What does that mean? Something. So I immediately go, okay, they've seen something, you know, is it a wreck, is it a person, is it a deer, what is ahead of me that they are trying to warn me about? And so I back off a little, even further, and you're trying to strain into the headlights, and then I see the taillights of the truck in front of me do like this number, and I'm like, oh my goodness, there's whatever it is, and it was a deer. And so I slowed down, went around, all I'm trying to do this morning, friends, is flash the lights. Jesus has warned us what is up ahead if we trade in our good works and religion for relationship. And I'm merely trying to flash the lights with all the passion I can muster up to say, don't miss it. There is danger ahead if you trust in yourself. Place your faith only in the person and work of Jesus Christ and know true life. Don't miss it. I'm just trying to flash the lights in your story today. That's all this is about. You say, well, Pastor, how do we do that? Like, what does that look like? And I mean, I wish we could have a whole series about that. It's the essence of the gospel. It's all that we're about. But it's not less than two things. It's much more, but it's not less than. And the first thing we need to do about that is take this message personally. You, this morning. Personally. You see, there has to be a moment in time, a point in your life, a season where you can look back and say, yeah, I made that decision for myself. Maybe you have never done that today. You haven't made that decision. But we have to take this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and make it personal. You see, it's not enough that our parents made us go to church or our wife drags us to church every Sunday or however you get here every week. That's not enough. We have to make that decision. You see, Jesus and the Holy Spirit is not a bully. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to force his forgiveness on you. He's not going to force his life in you. But he has already made a way this morning that you could hear this message. He's inviting you. But you must respond to the invitation. Have you? Have you? You see, until we cross that hurdle of making this count for me, and look, there's a place for the gathered body. There's a place for the church that we are to do life together. But you have to enter a relationship with Jesus on your own. Not because mom or grandma went to church, but because you at a point in time decided, yes, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. It has to be personal. And that faith is that we believe that Jesus was who he says he was, who the scriptures and his spirit reveal, that he was the sinless Son of God, fully man and fully God, sent to save the world, and that what he did on that cross some 2,000 years ago, somehow in the mystery of grace, counts for me and you today. And you're trusting in him, that why tomorrow is going to be okay is not because of me, it's because of him. That's putting your faith in Jesus. And so we place our faith in him. It has to be personal. And the second piece of that, if this was one coin and it's flipping in the air, the other piece of this is repentance. That our faith has to be real and our repentance needs to be sincere. You see, repentance is a sincere and thorough changing of our heart and mind in regard to sin, in regard to doing life my way. We have to turn away from that. It's this visual idea of I'm literally going this way and I repent, I turn and go a different direction. Our repentance and our walk and our seeking of Jesus has to be sincere. We can't just like throw the truck door open because we saw Jesus hitchhike and go, hey, get in, this looks like a good idea, and keep going our way. No, Jesus is Lord. And we must repent from sin. We must turn around. We must give all of our effort to living a new life. Dallas Willard says it this way. He says, grace is opposed to earning. It is not opposed to effort. There is no lazy river to heaven, folks. There is no lazy river to right relationship with Jesus. It's faith and repentance, and it's all brought about by the grace and Spirit of God at work in our life. And we must take it seriously. Because we can think in a relationship with Jesus and being a Christian is a great idea, and never repent. You say, how do you know? Because I did it. This was my story. I was at the end of a long season of running away from the Lord. I tried all the things that I thought would bring life. And by God's grace, I found myself in Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene on a Sunday where communion was being offered. And around that communion table, I responded to the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, we'll try this your way. Not the model prayer, but I'm saying God meets us where we're at. And that day, I prayed as sincerely as I could. I wanted Jesus in my life. I realized it was all empty. But you see, I didn't take repentance very seriously because the next couple of days, you have that spiritual high on Sunday, and then Monday comes. And slowly, I just started weaving, working my way back into the life I was living before until a couple weeks go by, and there was no resemblance I'd ever transacted anything with Jesus around that table. And by the grace of God, I found myself back in that church, back on a Sunday where Kerry Willis was doing communion again. And as clear as I am talking to you today, I heard the Lord say, hey, you're not holding up your end of the deal here. And he was right. I had placed my faith and trust in him, but I didn't repent. And I had to do that. And it was by grace that God gave me another opportunity to live out repentance, to turn a new life. And see, the beautiful thing is, we talked about being justified and regenerated and adopted. All of that is working on your side and for in your favor as you try to live a new life. This is not some just self-deprivation of trying to do it all yourself. This is life with God. Woo! There's power when Jesus comes in your life. And so those things you never thought you could get over, you have the ministry of the Spirit and the power and the forgiveness that he came to offer to live a new life, but we must do it. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's not a recliner faith. We have to take this personally, where repentance must be real. And sometimes we can't figure out what's going on in our life, why it never seems to really come around, because we've never really repented. We've never given our all to live in a new life. Doesn't mean we're not going to mess up. Doesn't mean we're not going to need to grow. But it means we have given our everything to pursuing Jesus. That's repentance. The band's going to come. Friends, this is how we clear this hurdle in our life. That you're here this morning, the first day of March, to hear this message is already God's kindness to you. Romans tells us, the book of Romans in the New Testament tells us that it is God's kindness, his love, his grace, his kindness that leads us to repentance. It's led you to hear an opportunity to see lights flashing coming the other way. To say, don't trust in works. Don't think that this whole church religion thing is just about trying to be a better person. That's going to be really fruitless and frustrating. You've got to know Jesus for yourself. We're going to respond today, just give you an opportunity to receive communion. I thought it was pretty cool. It was on the schedule, and at the same time, I get to extend to you the same invitation that I was extending. That you would rightly order your spiritual life today, holding the elements, the representation of the body and blood of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 says this, says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Don't receive March 1st, 2026 in vain. Don't see lights flashing on a foggy morning and keep going down the lane as if nothing's coming. Don't receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, if you want it to be. Today is the day to get your spiritual life in order. To leave behind the frustration of religion and live into the beautiful reality that Christ died for a relationship with you and me. Today's the day. Maybe today is the day of repentance for you. You're like me. You like the idea of being a Christian and some of those things, but you haven't really given yourself to change. Today is the day of salvation, the Word says. Communion is a sacrament. It's a means of grace. We believe God's in this. It reminds us of Jesus' life, death, and his resurrection, that one day he will return. 1 Corinthians 11 says this, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You don't have to be a member of this local church to receive these elements. We just ask that you be sincere in seeking Jesus. We've just talked for the last 35 minutes, about what that means. And if that's what you want today, you are invited to the table to receive. We're going to do it a little different today, but I would just ask, would you stand with me today? The elements have been prepared in the back. There's a gluten-free option in the back, and there's also a table up here to my left in this front corner. And I'm going to put out a couple invitations for you, okay? I just want you to sit tight. Change that. If you want to receive communion today, why don't you go grab the elements? If you're seeking Jesus today, go ahead and make your way, grab the elements, and come back to your seat and hang on to them. I want to walk us through a couple ways to receive these elements. So I want to just outline the most important thing you do today is that you listen to the voice of the Lord in your life and you say yes to him. I'm just trying to put some language to ways we might be approaching the table today. Maybe you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you can never think of a point in your life or in your story where you said, yes, I need to be forgiven. Lord, I want you to come into my life to forgive me, to make me free. You can pray that prayer today. You believe in faith that Jesus was who he says he was, his death on the cross counts for you. And you say, Lord, I'm going to live a new life. You see, we're holding reminders of the cost of our salvation. We get to hold the message this morning of what the cost of our salvation is. Maybe you need to make this personal. You might have been in church your whole life and checked off all the religious checkboxes you know, but yet you still don't know. Maybe you went to church because you were trying to pacify somebody else in your house or your life. And maybe you just want to make it personal today. To recognize, to say with your mouth, Lord, it's not all of those things I was trying to do, but it's you. Maybe that's you today. Maybe if you're in a position like I was so many years ago where I thought I wanted to be in relationship with Jesus, but I didn't really give repentance a good effort. And maybe you've been trying to live this Christian life without repenting. And you just sense God's calling you to say, hey, you're not holding up your end of the deal here. Grace is opposed to earning, not effort. We need to repent. And perhaps today, this has just been a reminder of our salvation in Christ Jesus. You too get to receive and celebrate through the elements. I would offer for all of us today a prayer in the pattern of Romans 10. That we would simply say, and here in just a moment, the band's going to lead us and you're going to have time to pray and to think and to respond. But maybe you would say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And you would believe that some 2,000 years ago, there was a man who walked this earth named Jesus, who was the sinless Son of God, fully man and fully God, and that he died a criminal's death on a cross on a hill called Calvary, and that 3 days later he arose and is now ascended and sitting with our Heavenly Father. That you believe that happened, and it's happening, and it counts for you. Just remember, that's faith. And it's a gift. And today, here, now, we put a line in the sand and say, Lord, I repent. I'm turning my life away from sin and giving my all to your will. Is that what you want to do today? This wafer represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for you and I. And this cup of juice represents the blood of the new covenant, which Christ Jesus shed on the cross for you and I. And as you pray and as you talk to the Lord this morning, I would invite you to receive these elements as you are ready. There's a personal element to this today. I don't want anybody to be in a rush. But make the most of this opportunity to make it real in your life. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity of grace to be reminded of the essence of our salvation. Call to place our trust in you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us. I know you are. That's part of who you are. You meet us at the point of our curiosity and you invite us to come closer. And so that we do today, Lord Jesus. Friends, this morning you pray as long as you need to. The altars are open if you want to come receive your elements there. But when you're ready, you can receive the bread or the wafer in the cup in remembrance that Christ died for you. You can receive as you're ready, and let's worship together.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.